pray. Almighty God, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. We thank you that your word points us to your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that in these moments, in this time tonight, that we would see through the text of some thousands of years ago and see within it the ways that it points towards your Son. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see as you would have us see. Open our ears to hear as you would have us hear. Open our minds to know as you would have us know, and our hearts to love as you would have us love. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. And all God's people said. Amen. So as I said at the beginning of the service, we'll be looking at a significant chunk of Numbers, the book of Numbers, three chapters. And so rather than reading all of it, it's fairly repetitious. And so we're going to break this into pieces. And the first section is Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. And I'll just sort of skip through to some of the key verses that help us get an idea of what's happening in this section. So we'll start in Numbers 28, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Give this command to the Israelites and say to them, 'Make sure that you present to me at the appointed time my food offerings as an aroma pleasing to me. Say to them, this is the food offering you are to present to the Lord, two lambs a year old without defect as a regular burnt offering each day. Offer one lamb in the morning and the other at twilight, together with a grain offering of a tenth of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with a quarter of a hin of oil from pressed olives. This is the regular burnt offering instituted at Mount Sinai as a pleasing aroma, a food offering presented to the Lord.'" And then we jump down to verse 9. "On the Sabbath day, make an offering of two lambs a year old without defect, together with its drink offering and a grain offering of two-tenths of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with olive oil. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, in addition to the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. On the first of every month, present to the Lord a burnt offering of two young bulls, one ram, and seven male lambs a year old, all without defect." And we'll stop there for now, and we'll pick up in verse 16 a little bit later. So here in Numbers 28, Israel is on the edge of entering the promised land, right? To remind us, Joshua has just taken over the leadership of the people of Israel, and they're anticipating coming into the land, and now God gives them this new set of guidelines concerning the offerings that they are to make. Now, when we look at these offerings, these daily offerings, these weekly offerings, these monthly offerings, we need to see that these aren't actually individual offerings that each person is to make, but rather they are offerings that are made on behalf of the entire community. At least we sure hope so, because of the sheer amount of what would be offered. Right? If you calculate it out, all of these offerings, the daily offerings, the weekly offerings, the monthly offerings, they come out to, over the course of a year, offering 113 bulls, 32 rams, 1,086 lambs, more than 2,000 pounds of flour, 1,000 bottles of oil, and 1,000 bottles of wine. Whew. That's a lot to offer. But what we see in this massive number of offerings to be made is a God-blessed rhythm of daily, weekly, monthly, and seasonal practices. The seasonal practices are the festivals, which we'll get to in a minute. But one of the things that we need to see when we're looking at this system of offerings and sacrifices is that ultimately this sacrificial system isn't for God's sake at all, but it's for the people's. Or we may think of that famous passage from Amos chapter 5, verses 21 and following, where God says, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Even though you bring me choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. The point of all of these offerings, these monthly, daily, weekly, and seasonal practices, was not to appease God, was not to make them okay with God. They are already God's covenant people. God has already drawn near to Israel and said, "I am in covenantal relationship with you." Rather, these sacrifices were a means for the people's heart to be put in the right place. They were a rhythm of life designed to instill within the people of Israel a heart for the things that mattered to God. For the heart of the sacrificial offering system ultimately was meant to be the heart itself. In making these regular offerings, in participating in the communal work, for this was an act of trust as well, that all the people together would come and bring the offerings necessary that the entire community could offer these gifts, was meant to instill within them a heart for justice, a heart for righteousness. In Amos 5, God's people were doing the letter of the law. They were making the offerings and the sacrifices and the religious festivals. They were doing these daily, weekly, monthly, seasonal practices. They had the practices right, but they were missing the heart. There's something wonderful. There's a gift to these daily, weekly, monthly, and seasonal practices of having a rhythm of life. In seminary, one of the things we were assigned to do was actually to write out a rhythm of life that would name specific practices that would be a part of the rhythm and routine of our daily life. And there's something wonderful about that. And if we were to go home tonight and write out a rhythm of our lives, what are our daily, weekly, monthly, and seasonal practices? I imagine that many of us would include individual practices as part of this, right? Daily devotions, perhaps, time reading scripture, prayer in the morning or the evening, table prayer with our families, doing devotions as a family. Maybe some of the daily practices. We might include things like attending worship as some of the weekly practices, or going somewhere, going on a walk, or spending particular time out in nature. But what strikes me is that all of these practices in Numbers 28 are communal. These were for all of the people together. And so it's one of the reasons why, coming out of the faith formation cohort that Covenant has been participating in, that we have this group of people looking at how we do life together as a church, asking how do we foster a sense of community as a congregation, that one of the things that we've actually been trying to do is to have some monthly practices as a congregation. Monthly things that we can do together. So starting in June, we had name tags that the kids made. We said, hey, let's help us all get to know each other a little bit better. At the end of July into August, we had a camping trip and a bonfire. At the end of August into September, we're going to do Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And so I love it. It's one of my favorite things. Go over to somebody's house, you don't know who's coming. It's awesome. It's a great time. We're looking ahead to what we're going to do in October and November, and the idea is trying to say every month, let's have some sort of communal practice, something that gets us together. Rhythms of individual and communal daily, weekly, monthly, and seasonal practices are a God-blessed gift. And I think it's a wonderful thing to name those. What are my practices as an individual? What are our practices as a church? How are we tapping into that rhythm? But at the same time, we have to see that broad story of Scripture, that these offerings and sacrifices that were being made, their point was never the offerings themselves. The point was the heart that God was trying to instill within the people by making these offerings. God's desire was always a heart that burned for justice. The sacrificial system was always supposed to inspire and instill within God's people a heart for righteousness, a passion for living in the freedom of being God's covenant people. And sometimes those rhythms, rather than being those things that would inspire our hearts, can instead become means of guilt. One of the most freeing conversations I ever had was with a mentor during seminary. He asked me one time, well, how are your spiritual practices? What is your rhythm of life look like? And truth be told, at that time, I was having a hard time just keeping my head above water. I wasn't exactly engaged in the level of spiritual practice that I desired to be. I felt so guilty. I mean, here I was a seminary student. I was working as a campus minister. I was supposed to be an example for my students of somebody who did regular devotions and had a vibrant prayer life, and I felt so awful. And here this mentor says to me, how's your spiritual practices? So I sort of hemmed and hawed and said, well, you know, it's not where I want it to be, you know. And he looked at me and he said, Corey, it's okay. If we feel guilt about not meeting certain practices and rhythms, we're missing the point. They're gifts meant for us. God doesn't require them of us. They are wonderful gifts that we as followers of Jesus do well to take advantage of. I mean, gathering with fellow believers on Sunday is a tremendous gift. Coming to the bonfire last weekend and the other events coming up, well, if you can't make it to guess who's coming to dinner, you shouldn't feel guilty. But it was an awesome opportunity. These rhythms, they're not for God, they're for us. They're tremendous gifts. They're a way of living into the future. It's a way of anticipating the way things will be. It's a way of framing and patterning our life now in anticipation of the promised land. And my hope is that we're inspired and that we desire to do them. My hope is that we look at these daily, weekly, monthly, and seasonal practices and we say, yes, there's something wonderful about that, and I want to be a part of a community that does those things together. I want my life to reflect this pattern because there's something good and beautiful and wonderful that happens in my heart because of them. But if we look at these practices and we feel guilt, and I want to remind us that the heart of the system is the heart. I can do devotions every morning. I can come to church twice every Sunday. I can show up at every single church function. But if I'm only doing it out of obligation, if I'm only doing it because I have to, if I'm only doing it because it's expected of me, or if I'm only doing it because I worry what people will think of me if they don't see me there, well, then we're missing something. And don't get me wrong, sometimes it is important to do these practices even when our heart doesn't feel it. To establish a rhythm and to trust that God is going to develop that heart. But even that is a different posture from one of guilt. It's a different posture from one that says, I have to do this. Rather, it's a posture that says, God is inviting us into a rhythm of practices as an individual and as a community. They are a gift. God invites us to pattern our lives every day, every week, every month, and throughout the year in such a way that reminds us of God's grace and inspires and instills within us a heart for justice, a heart for righteousness, a passion for the good news of God's grace. So let's take advantage of that. Amen. Let's pray. Indeed, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the offering you give to us of rhythms and patterns of life. Empower us, we pray, to pattern our lives in such a way that we would offer our heart to you. Remove from us the temptation to do things out of obligation, but to do them rather out of an overflowing joy in response to your grace. Equip us to pattern our lives in such a way that we can live more and more in the good news of your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said. Let's sing together, "What Shall I Render," as we consider how we can offer our lives and the patterns, practices, and rhythms of our life in response to God's grace.